from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from the shadow of the beautiful MetLife Stadium, live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, it's our annual visit to Giant Camp. Welcome in to a special edition of Evan and Tiki. And I have to admit, right off the top, Tiki, I don't think in all my years of coming to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, I've been in a better mood than I am today.
Why, is that because Francisco Alvarez walked off a victory for the Mets last night?
See, I knew you would think that.
Of course I would.
That contributes, but that's not the reason.
What's the reason?
The reason is, whenever we come out here to the beautiful Quest Diagnostics Training Center, it is hot, it is humid, it is muggy, and while we talk football, it doesn't feel like football.
No doubt. This feels like football.
This feels like football. For those that have not been outside today, or maybe you're not in the New York area, it has got a brisk in the air. There's a chill in the air. There's a breeze in the air. And as we sit here actually watching a Giants practice that we are not allowed to take video of, the SNY cameras are focused on us. They cannot turn around and show Giant practice. That's against the rules. That would cause major issues. As we watch Giant practice, unlike every other year I've been here, I don't have to close my eyes and squint to try to think of football. This feels like football. So right off the top, and we will get into Francisco Alvarez, we'll get into Yankees, Guardians, obviously a ton of Giant talk throughout the day, but I do want to tell you that feel, even if you're not outside, I want to describe it to you. It feels like football, and Tiki, there's no better feeling.
Yeah, I woke up this morning, had to take the dog for a walk, obviously knowing that we're coming over here to Quest for the Giants practice, and I felt like I was 25 years ago.
Oh.
I felt like I was going to a game. You know, you wake up in the morning, it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. You go outside and it's just hot, but not hot.
Right.
There's a briskness in the air. There's a little breeze flowing. And it's like, man, this is football weather.
Yes.
And now that I'm over here and the grass is perfect and the Giants are taking care of us, and I guess at some point, SNY, once they're off the field, can flip it around. Thank you, SNY, for taking us again on the road. And you'll see, it's just gorgeous right
yes.
now. And we're going to have some great guests this afternoon. Brian Burns is going to join us, as is the rookie superstar Malik Nabers and Sexy Dexie.
And
he's,
I think,
the best.
The most important thing Malik Nabers has to figure out, and hopefully he will figure it out with us later today, is what freaking number this man's going to wear. Because I was doing some research last night about popular jerseys in the NFL as we begin a new season. And believe it or not, I think a part of it is the 100th anniversary jersey they put together. The Giants right now have the 5th most popular jersey in the NFL, which I think is really impressive considering they don't have, like, Patrick Mahomes.
So that the 100th anniversary jersey is, or is it just a particular player's jersey?
So it's for the Giants in general. Now, I think the 100th anniversary jersey is contributing to it.
Got it.
A lot of people are like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Right.
I want to buy that. But there's a hold off on people buying Nabers jerseys, who I think is the most popular Giant. He hasn't even played a game yet. And I think he's already kind of graduated to that popularity level. But right now, he's sharing a number with Graham Gano. And once the season starts, he's got to pick a number. So there's a lot of Giant fans who are waiting because they're like, I can't buy a Malik Nabers jersey. I don't know his number yet.
Do you think he knows what number he wants?
So I think, deep down, and we'll talk to him about this,
I think it's going to be single digits.
You think so?
I do, because that's where wide receivers want to be at.
You think he's waiting for someone to get cut, and that's why he hasn't picked
Yeah, probably. It's like somebody who's not going to be here,
yes.
who's, I mean, I'm not going to knock whoever that player is, but just, you know, just loses the number because of attrition. And There's a 37 or so player cut down that's going to happen after this last preseason game. And I mean, it's kind of brutal.
Yes.
It used to be intermittent cut down, so there'd be 5 or 10 people, and then all of a sudden you'd get the 15 or so at the end. But now it's everybody at the end. All 90 players are here until after the last preseason game. So there's going to be a ton of numbers available.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has something in mind.
Yeah, I think there's two things going on. I think, A, he has something in mind. He doesn't want to talk about a guy getting cut. And, B, he's negotiating. Because there may be a number, like Graham Gano's number or Jalin Hyatt's number, that he's eyeing.
Jalin Hyatt's not
and he's saying,
getting cut.
No, not getting caught. No, negotiating in terms of,
I see.
Try to acquire
right. How
that
much
number.
Is it going to cost?
Yeah.
Can like I make you an offer?
Absolutely. That's the way I'd negotiate. I'd hold out until the right deal approaches. But Malik Nabers will join us a little bit later on to give you a heads up on this busy day here at Quest Diagnostics Training Center. The Giants are practicing right now. They should be done around 2:45. We'll have a cavalcade of guests around that time, which will include Sexy Dexy, as Tiki said, Dexter Lawrence. We will talk to Brian Burns, one of the newest members of the New York Giants, and Malik Nabers as well. A lot of Giant talk, a lot of Yankee talk. A couple of things about the Mets last night, because that was pound for pound, maybe their most important win of the year. And I always fight with this over the course of a baseball season.
Yankee fans are thanking you as well.
You're welcome, by the way. To all the Yankee fans out there, listen, you're welcome, man. You benefit from it. Good for you, man. Throughout a baseball season, it's such a long-ass season, as Aaron Boone likes to say, that there are losses that in your mind feel like, oh, my God, this could be the death sentence. This could be the game that you remember when the season goes bad. And then vice versa. When you have a great win, your hope is, this is the win we're going to talk about. This is the win we're going to always remember that kind of turns the season around. And last night at Citi Field, there were a lot of Oriole fans there, by the way. I was in the building. I was surprised by that. I thought that
Are you surprised by that? Really?
I am.
It's not that far. Oriole fans are energetic about where this season is.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's an important game for them because if they win, even though the Yankees weren't playing, they take a half-game lead over the Yankees.
Sure.
It's a big game for them, just like it was a big game for the Mets.
I think I was surprised only because in my experience, the rare times the Orioles have come to Citi Field and Shea Stadium, they don't usually put that many fans in the building. So I'm just not used to it. So maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but there was a good amount of Oriole fans, and you could hear them when Urias hit the game-tying home run and Peterson committed the balk and all that. But I think that the energy was big, but that game needed to be a victory for the New York Mets. When you look at the way they lost to Miami, when you look at the difficulty of the schedule coming up, when you look at the fact that they took an early lead, J.D. Martinez hit the opposite field home run, Tyrone Taylor had the RBI single, and David Peterson pitched as well as he pitched. It was one of those games, and it was a fun game. Like, it was one of those clean, good-looking baseball games that even though it was ugly the way they tied it, the balk by Peterson, the home run by Urias, that was one of those games you couldn't lose. And I think when Alvarez swung at that 3-0 fastball, got a great pitch to hit, and drilled it, there was a sigh of relief, but there was excitement from my fellow Met fans in terms of, we couldn't lose this game.
Yeah.
It was a very, very important win last night, and hopefully they're able to build off.
Well, I agree. And more importantly, is for Francisco Alvarez to come through in a clutch moment. And we've been waiting for a few weeks now for him to come out of this slump that he's been in, simply because you need the extra power. You need the extra bat. And, you know, one of the reasons that you kind of felt comfortable not pursuing one at the trade deadline is that Francisco Alvarez was eventually going to come back to who Francisco Alvarez was.
That was the hope.
And that was the hope. But it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Now, last night, it did happen. And you hope that it continues going forward, because if you lack power in certain spots of a season, especially down the stretch, it's going to come back to haunt you.
No doubt.
And the Mets know this, and so it's a lot of pressure on a second-year kid who has high expectations for himself, but it was great to see for him, because he's such a hard worker.
Oh, absolutely.
He feels like he's that young catalyst / future leader for this Mets team. And so to get moments like that are very important for him.
And to your point, I hope that it relaxes him. I hope that this slump, which has been going on for a while, maybe he could take a deep breath. He had a game-winning home run. It was the first walk-off of his major league career, because you're right, this lineup is completely different if Alvarez can get hot. So not only is it a big home run, because no one wanted to see Ryan Stanek in the 10th inning of a tie game against the Orioles, which is exactly what the Mets were going to present to us, but B, maybe this sparks Alvarez, but something else happened last night. And you can be the IBO to say, Evan, I agree with you, or Evan, you lost your mind. And my fellow Met fans, the same thing. I have been very, very skeptical of David Peterson for years now. ever since he got called up in 2020, you want him to be good. You want him to be that long-term answer, solid rotation arm. But there's been so many failures, so many struggles, that even last year when David Peterson was given a reprieve because the Mets dumped Verlander and Scherzer, there was nothing he did last year that made me think he could be a solid rotation arm. He gets hurt. He misses the first few months of the season with the hip surgery. And even as he was coming back, my attitude was, all right, I guess we'll get some starts. But there's nothing that I believe in with David Peterson. Well, it's been, I guess, 12 or 13 starts now since he's been activated from the injured list. And he's pitched really well.
Yes.
And last night, I admit it, was the first time that I started to believe that David Peterson may actually be putting together a solid, reliable, middle-of-the-rotation career. Because if you look at what he's done since he's been activated, it's almost like there was magical hip surgery. Like something happened in the hip surgery that changed everything about David Peterson. And I know it didn't end well, the balk, the game-tying home run. The guy went seven innings and allowed three runs. The guy's giving you back-to-back seven-inning performances.
Yes.
Three out of the last five.
And given the bullpen issues, the depth of, or at least the length of the starting pitching is so important for this Mets team.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing that I think may have happened with David Peterson. So a couple years ago, he felt like he was that swing guy. He was yo-yoed, right? You're going to be in the starting rotation, then, you know, we're going to throw you into the bullpen. And he'd get into the bullpen, and he just wouldn't even be close to what he was as a starter. And so it felt like his process was dependent upon consistency or continuity in his role. And I think what's changed this year, and I'll give Mindy credit because I don't know who else to give credit. This year, it's felt like David Peterson knows exactly what his responsibility, his role is for this Mets team. And they've been consistent with it. So it's allowed him to be consistent with his preparation. And so, yeah, have there been some down performances? Sure. But over the length of a season, You can't help but say, well, God, he feels so much better. And I think he himself feels better about his role on this team, which makes it easier to go out and do things, you know, the right way.
Here's what's crazy. Like, his worst performance of the season, looking back on it now, with 14 starts in the books, is 5 innings, 4 runs. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's great. But
I mean,
that's
barely off a quality start.
It's barely off a quality start, and it keeps your team in the game, especially
absolutely.
If you have a big-time offense. And in a few of those 5-inning, 4-run starts, the Mets have actually won. So it took until last night, and maybe that number is 14 starts. Maybe it took 14 starts. Maybe it took me being in a good mood. I was with an auction winner last night. It was a good charity moment.
No, it was a good mood because you saw a walk-off home run.
But it was before that. It was before that.
Oh, got it.
It was throughout the performance. Maybe it's because it's against the Orioles.
Got
the Orioles
it.
Are a good team.
It's a good thing I didn't go with you because I would have missed it. I would have left it.
I would have crushed you for that. I don't think we would have let you leave.
It was a one-run game.
Yeah,
but we wouldn't have left.
You wouldn't have left. And if you tried to leave, I think the guys that I were with, one of which, a huge Tiki Barber fan.
I love it.
Dude, he would have been like, you're not leaving. Tiki Barber ain't leaving a Met Oriole game. That's a one-run game.
By the way, I would have been so pissed at myself if I'd left and Francisco Alvarez.
That's why you don't leave games early.
I mean, I only leave when it's like something's not good. It's just not entertaining to me. Or I have other responsibilities. I had to take my daughter to cheer practice the last time.
Well, look,
what do you want me to do?
I get it when life gets in the way. But the risk you have when you leave a sporting event early, whether it's football. Remember people leaving the Giants-Jets game early last year? Sorry to bring that up, Giants. Or leaving, last night's Met game.
Guess what? I couldn't leave that one because I was calling it.
No. But as we all know, or some of you may not know, there was a certain famed Jet fan who did leave the Jet-Giant game early last year. My old partner, the great Joe Beningo, left Jets-Giants early.
Well, he actually didn't leave. Because to me, leaving is, I got to beat traffic, man. I got to get home. I got something to do. So he left the stadium.
But the Cruz dance.
He was in the parking lot.
That's leaving the game, though.
I don't know. I mean,
you don't think that's leaving the game?
He said he watched it from the big Jumbotron outside of MetLife Stadium.
So. Listen, here's my definition of leaving a game. This is just me speaking. Once you leave your seat and you can no longer see the game, like live, you've left the game. So for Yankee fans, I'll give you a great example. Yankees are home tonight, one of those rare scenarios where the Mets and the Yankees are home. If you leave your seat and you're in the Great Hall, you know the Great Hall, big Great Hall, Yankee Stadium? I think that's what they call it. And you're watching the game on the big screen, you've left early. You're not seeing the
not
game
necessarily.
Live.
You're
oh,
there.
Come on. You're there.
See, I think leaving is just is removing yourself from the emotion of the arena or the ballpark.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so I kind of almost can say that Joe B, when he left the Giant Jet game, he was still a part of it. I mean, hell, he became like half viral famous for doing the salsa in the parking lot.
That's right. We have
with
that audio.
Jet fans.
We have that audio clip if you'd like to hear it again.
And so he did not remove himself from the aura of the moment.
Yeah.
So he didn't leave the game. Yeah, he wasn't sitting in his seat. He was dancing in the parking. But he was
perfect. The Cruz dance.
Yeah, that's Joe B after Jets Giants last year.
I'm going to defend Joe B.
No, I'm defending him. I mean, he has a right to leave early. It's just the risk.
Leave early. He was still there.
He left early. You run the risk of missing something magic,
right? Like, if you're going to leave early, you got to leave early properly.
I agree.
You got to just peace out.
Well,
I'm
also,
gone.
Last night's Met Oriole game was never a game to leave early because think about it. The Mets weren't losing. They just blew a lead.
Yeah.
And it was a quick game.
Yes.
So in the bottom of the ninth inning, you're only 2 hours and 15 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes into the game. So why are you leaving? It's not like it's a three-hour game or the Mets are down by three or four runs. So I'd be surprised if anybody left last night's game early. But if you stayed, and I hope everybody did, you got to see that awesome moment. But no, I was believing in David Peterson earlier in the night. And look, I think as sports fans, we're skeptical of certain athletes that we've watched fail for a long time. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you know, some guys turn it around. You know, Andrew Thomas, one of the great players on the New York Football Giants, I love to use him as an example, and it's a compliment. I'm certainly not putting him down. Andrew Thomas didn't have a good rookie year. And I remember sitting here fielding phone calls from Giant fans, football fans, saying, he's a bust. He's a bust.
Yeah.
And, like, there's this hesitation of, can we let him play just a little bit longer? And Andrew Thomas, in his second year, very quickly proved he's not only not a bust.
Right. Oh, he's all pro.
He may be the best left tackle in the NFL.
That's right.
So Andrew did it after a year, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. David Peterson has been in the Met rotation, or at least in and out of the Met rotation, for five seasons.
Yeah.
Think about that. 20, 21, 22, 23, and here we sit in 2024. And you get tested as a fan in terms of believing in a guy. We're going to get into this a little bit later on, but another guy who I think is testing that is Anthony Volpe. And you'll hear a little bit later on Aaron Boone defending passionately Anthony Volpe with a nice, cool interview that John Boyd did earlier in the day. We'll play those clips a little bit later on and analyze. But it's tough as a sports fan when you try to determine, okay, can this young player become reliable, or it's just not going to work? And I think in the case of David Peterson, and man, I hope I'm not going to eat these words, especially over the last month and a half of the season, I think he's earned that trust.
Yeah.
He's made 14 starts. He did it against the Orioles last night at Citi Field. Like, I got to tell you, I think David Peterson, I try not to be naive, Tiki.
Yeah, but
I try not to jump off and on a ship, too.
Well, you're also not scared right now about him. I'm not saying you're going to throw him out there and expect a one-hitter or a shutout against some of the better teams, especially in the postseason, but you're not worried about the blow-up game because you just haven't
had it.
You just haven't seen it.
I would argue right now David Peterson has been the Mets' most reliable starting pitcher over the last 2 months.
And it's quiet.
Very
it's,
quiet.
It's quietly been that way for him.
Yes. Now, I can't believe this is real, but I want to be fair. There is a gentleman on hold who is claiming to me that they left last night's Met game early.
Come on.
And again, I find that incredibly hard to believe. It was a quick game. Don't give me the rain delay. It was a 10-minute rain delay. So
it stopped raining before we left the office.
Exactly. It was all clear. I hope that Evan in Brooklyn, New York, has like a valid excuse. Evan, how and why did you leave last night's Mets Orioles game early?
So let me preface this. I'm not a huge Met fan. I got free tickets to the game. And I was sitting in so much traffic because it poured right before the game. And I got there, I was a little annoyed. Okay, the first inning, we got the home run, Mets are up. They were up 3-0, everything looked good. And then when he threw that ball to second base, Peterson, and that error, it just went all downhill. I didn't understand why he did that. You know, the batter, you know, the catcher could have, if the guy was going to steal, the catcher could have thrown out easily. You know,
wait,
then
so
when they did the ball.
Evan, is that
no,
what
no,
you
I left? No, I left in the seventh inning, after the seventh inning. No, I thought the momentum was. I thought the momentum was gone. They were, you know, when he did the balk and then he gave up the home run. I'm like, you know what? I think the Mets are going to lose. I'm driving home, and all of a sudden I tune into the radio, and as I tune in, walk off home run Alvarez. So
do you regret it?
So
do you feel like, you know, kind of a dopey for leaving this game early?
I definitely do. I went with a friend of mine. He stayed, and he just called me up after the game. He's like, "How can you leave? The place is going crazy." There were so many Oriole fans. That was
yes.
The crazy part.
Yes.
So many Oriole fans.
Yeah, and, I was saying that Tiki, I was surprised by how many Oriole fans there were, but hold on. His story doesn't even add up. The error by Peterson, which annoyed me too. Yep. I completely agree with your opinion.
And talking about the pickoff attempt to second base.
Yes.
Pass Lindor into center field.
And it turned into the Orioles basically cashing in on that, you know, creating a run, moved him over with a ground out, scored him on a ground out, all that. That was in the fifth inning. So a 3-0 game becomes 3-1 in the fifth inning, and that one play makes you say, ah, gee.
Well, I think he was saying he was annoyed because of the weather. So driving there was a pain in the butt. And then he sits down. He's like frazzled. Doesn't have time to have his pre-first pitch beer.
Stop.
He's just like, oh, God, this sucks, man. Where's the – can I get a beer, peanuts, hot dog? Can I get something? Come on. First pitch happens, and then fifth inning, you know, you're maybe starting to get settled, and then that happens. So he's just a little bit annoyed.
Yeah, that's
– I feel for him a little bit.
I don't feel for him at all. I was hoping that his excuse would be
– as a fellow early leaver-er,
yeah.
I feel for you, Evan.
Well, if your excuse is my wife called me and said – get home in an hour, you'll find out why. I understand it. If you have to take your kids somewhere, if, I don't know, there are excuses. That was the worst one I've ever heard. And you deserve to miss a walk-off home run. You deserve the beauty of what you missed. Now, when we come back, I remember sitting here a year ago with Tiki Barber, and Tiki was mad at me.
What?
I had a very unreasonable, in his opinion about the New York Football Giants.
Oh, that's right.
He thought I was being a hater. I was just being me. And I said, you know, the Giants are coming off a playoff year. Giants are coming off a year in which they won a playoff game. Anything short of that would be a disappointment. Well, now the Giants are coming off a non-playoff year. What are the reasonable expectations that would make this Giants season a successful season? We'll get Tiki's opinion. We'll get your opinion. 888-808-1019. We are live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Coming up probably in the next 25 minutes or so, we will begin to be joined by a lot of New York Giants, including Malik Nabers and Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns. A lot to do. We'll mix in some Yankees, more thoughts on the Mets, and obviously a lot of Giant talk. Evan and Tiki on the road on SNY and WFAN. Live from Quest Diagnostics Training Center on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in New Jersey and wherever the heck you're listening. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. We'll talk to plenty of Giants throughout the program. Now, I've always had this opinion.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Okay, last year was the first year Tiki got to see this opinion because
yes.
We were working together. And that is, as a sports fan, as a fan of any team I root for, it's tough to have a quote-unquote good season if you go backwards. You always have to go forwards. And sometimes that's very tough. Like the New York Knicks got to the Eastern Conference semifinals. They can't just get there again.
Mm-hmm.
That was the argument I actually used a couple months ago when we talked about the Knicks. Like, they got knocked out in the same round.
Yes.
That's not a good season. That's a neutral season.
And it's hard because you want to put it in context because of the injuries.
Sure, I get it.
All that other stuff. But you're right. You're right. At the end of the day, nobody cares about the circumstances.
No.
The only thing people care about is, did you go farther?
That's it.
And the answer is no for the Knicks.
No doubt. And last year, I thought the Giants were in this really tricky pickle because they were coming off a shocking season.
Yes.
You could argue one of the more shocking seasons we've had in this town in a decade.
Nobody saw it coming.
Nobody. The Giants were supposed to be bad. They were supposed to be terrible. And they went out and they made the postseason. And not only did they make the postseason, they won a playoff game beating the Vikings on the road. And granted, they got crushed the next week against Philly, but bottom line was they made the playoffs, won a playoff game. And we were sitting here last year, and I said to you, I'm sorry, bro, like if they don't make the playoffs or they don't win a playoff game, I don't know how you could call it a successful season. And I understood you looked at it and said, but it's not reasonable. Look at their roster.
Right. I pushed back on it because of the roster. They won in spite of some of their shortcomings as an offense and as a defense.
Totally so get it.
I give them credit for the culture change and great coaching, for which Dave won Coach of the Year in the NFL, which is obviously amazing. But you just kind of looked at the roster and it's like, it's actually not that great going into last season.
Totally get it.
And all you needed was a couple of injuries and the depth becomes challenged.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I disagreed that they weren't going to be as good. I looked at the roster. I had my concerns. We laid it out last year around the offensive line, the youth of the secondary, the durability of the quarterback. All that stuff really kind of came in and they only won six games. And I get that. This year, so last year the Giants were the victim, in a weird way, of raised expectations.
Yes.
Because they had a season that nobody saw coming.
Yes, exactly.
Well, now we have ourselves a little bit of a reset. Because the Giants are coming off of a 6-win season in which the offensive line was atrocious, in which Daniel Jones barely played. He only started 6 games. And when he did start those 6 games, he wasn't very good. And so the Giants had, I think we'd all agree, a bad year last year. So as we sit here on this just beautiful day in August, no injuries yet.
None.
No.
Stop. Don't even think it into existence.
I'm not, man. And right now, no drama. Like, the Giants have no drama. My football team's got plenty of drama. They got Hassan Reddick still holding out God knows where. The Giants have no drama. They've got no injuries. So we don't know what this season's going to bring. That's the beauty of it. But as we sit here today, and I have my answer, but I'm curious what your answer is. What would make this upcoming season we're all excited about, because it's football. Mm-hmm. It's only 17 of these games. It's like an event. My wife knows that. She learned it when we first met. Sundays and sometimes Mondays and Thursdays, that's a holiday.
What do you mean, sometimes? It's all times.
Well, when the Giants or Jets aren't playing, I can't get away with Monday being
Well, maybe Thursday night. Thursday is tough sometimes.
It's tough sometimes.
It's really tough sometimes. But Sunday night, Monday night, I kind of have to watch those.
No, I watch them, but it's not the holiday where, you know, my father-in-law's making quesadillas, and it's like, there's a party. Monday night, I can't pull that off. That's literally me just watching the game like a human. But,
what was I going to say?
Oh, yeah. So, for you, what would make you say, come the middle of January, first week of January, hey, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but this was a good season?
Yeah, so, to me, I'll put two layers here. One, a good season is that they're above 500 and you found Daniel Jones stays healthy and you don't have to worry about what our quarterback situation is. To me, the exceptional season, though, is getting the double-digit wins and getting into the postseason again.
Yes.
If that happens, then I feel like the sky, not maybe this year, but going forward is the limit, because it tells you that a team that has started to build some talent is overachieving.
Right.
And that would be coaching again. It would be advancement of some of these young players, because, again, they're young in a lot of spots. There are some vets here, obviously, but they're young in a lot of spots. It would be so encouraging, you couldn't help but be excited. And then going into 2025, you're saying, dude, this team needs to be competing for a championship, NFC championship, maybe not a Super Bowl championship, because that Patrick Mahomes thing is going to be in the way for a lot of years for a lot of teams, including in the AFC, but also whoever the NFC representative is. But I think this year, to me, is be 500. That's successful.
Yeah.
Be above 500, which is obviously 9-8. Be above 500. Play with the same kind of culture that was developed 2 years ago. Keep guys healthy and be accountable.
Right.
And to me, that's success.
So there are two things. There's the win losses, which you brought up, and then there's the how do you feel about this team going into the offseason and going into where they could build for the following year.
Right.
Let me start with win totals. I don't know if you remember this, but back in December of last year, I would come on the radio and
start gloating about how you see you were right about 6 wins.
No, not that. I wouldn't gloat.
Well,
I would never gloat.
You did.
I would merely lay out the scenarios on how the Giants can make the playoffs.
Right, right, right. Because they were never really out of it until the last 2 weeks of the season.
Right. They started the year off 2-8. They won 3 games in a row. They got to 5-8. And in the middle of December, despite being 5-8, I would lay out scenarios for you and Sean and Loogie in which, hey, it's right in front of them. And you guys, every time, would get mad at me and say, stop it, it's unrealistic, it's not going to happen. I'm like, listen, I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I'm telling you, here are your scenarios where the Giants could be a playoff team. To me, what would be success is when we're sitting here in the middle of December and we talk about playoff scenarios,
yep.
you aren't mad at me for creating.
Oh, interesting.
I need the Giants, and this is my bar for, hey, this was a good season. A great season is winning it all.
Yeah.
All right? To have a good season in the middle of December, right around the holidays, when you're picking out Christmas gifts, you don't have to rationalize a playoff race.
Yeah.
You're in a playoff
race.
You
talk about these last two or three games meaning something.
Yes.
And it actually means something.
Yes.
And it's not just circumstantial.
Yes. Look, they started last year 2-8. Okay?
Yeah.
It was bad. And we know why it was bad. Andrew Thomas got hurt, like, right away.
Yep.
That may have been the most consequential thing that happened to them earlier in the year when they missed the field goal got blocked. Andrew Thomas is trying to run I forget who down, pulls a hamstring, stays in the game, yeah. in a game in which the Giants got destroyed in,
yeah.
and then Thomas ended up missing how many weeks? Like, that was, I hate to say, like, something happened the first week of the season that was really an indicator of things to come. But it was.
But he was your biggest, I'm not going to say your biggest star, because we usually think of the skill position players, or say a linebacker or a safety or whoever it may be, as a big star. But he was maybe your most important player a year ago.
100%.
Especially given some of the other deficiencies on the offensive line. So when he goes down, and all of a sudden Daniel Jones, who is injury prone, you know,
right.
just not just reality of it, is now not protected backside, and ultimately his shoulder or neck or whatever the heck it ultimately was puts him out for a few weeks because he got blindsided from the backside.
Yeah.
It just exacerbated.
It derailed their season.
It completely derailed their season with the Daniel Jones injury. But that was precipitated by the Andrew Thomas injury.
Right. One thing led to another.
Yes.
You know, and then you've got Saquon banged up. Like, it kind of steamrolled where week one of the season, and we're always excited about week one. We're already thinking about Giants, Vikings, and the injuries to Minnesota and the moves they've made. We're already game planning for it. But rarely does the first week of a season define a year.
Yeah.
And it did feel like last year defined the Giants season.
Especially when you go look back on it, like in retrospect, so you know what happened going forward. It clearly, that was the biggest issue with the Giants is Andrew Thomas getting hurt in week one.
And by the way, like, now looking back on it, it's easy. I even think at the time you found it.
You're right. But you know what? I think you kind of had a little faith in some of the younger players that were there. Oh, maybe Josh Azuda was going
to
figure it out. Maybe, you know, the depth will be all right. And it clearly was not from jump.
Yes.
So that was the biggest issue.
No doubt. So I think, number one, being in this legitimate in the hunt conversation. It's like that graphic that CBS and Fox put up late in the year. In the race, in the hunt, all that. I think being in the hunt, which you're not asking that much to be in the hunt. It's kind of like baseball these days. If you're right around 500, you're in the hunt. So I think that's the win total. That's where you got to be, kind of in that 8-win, even 7-win, 9-win range that keeps you in the hunt. I think the other thing, and you kind of hit on it, is when the season is over, no matter what happens with the quarterback, and I know the quarterback is the thing we talk the most about. We spent a lot of time talking about it yesterday.
Yep.
That gets all the attention. But there is a scenario where we are sitting here talking about the New York Giants, uncertain about the quarterback, and feeling damn good about this roster.
It's no doubt.
My God, this defense
with
Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence and you know, the young secondary, this guy developed, that guy developed, where we are discussing the Giants being, you know, close,
yes,
a quarterback away.
Right.
And I think if that's what we're saying in January and February leading into free agency, that's another way to define a successful
season.
No,
you're right. I think the other thing, and we have some of this on defense, and you talk about Dexter Lawrence, he's making his way up here, so we'll be chatting with him
in just a
couple of minutes. The other thing that I just was thinking about as you were talking about Andrew Thomas going down, the other measure of success is this team needs to have a defined superstar.
Hmm.
And obviously we have some in the offensive line, offensive linemen, some of the defensive linemen, some of the edge rushers, but this team needs an Odell, right? It needs a Saquon as a rookie of the year type player. It needs someone who defines, like, excellence at the ultimate level, not just for the Giants, but for the National Football League.
Yes.
And if that happens, then you know that the team is on its way.
Well, we may have a superstar right here. He's a big man. He's very intimidating, and he's damn good. And he's very rich after that big extension he got last year.
Makes me glad I'm not playing anymore.
That's Dexter Lawrence. Nice to meet you, sir. By the way, how about this kid wearing a Mikal Bridges Knicks jersey? How disgusting is this take?
What are you talking about?
Nothing, anyhow. Do you mind if I call you Sexy Dexy, or is that awkward coming from me?
No, that's fine. I get it a lot.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Excellent. Good to see you. How was practice today? I mean, this is perfect weather, right?
Oh, yeah. The weather saved us.
Right. This is nice. You guys go to a joint practice tomorrow with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be, like, fisticuffs and fighting and cross-town rivalries going on?
You know, we ain't going to dodge any smoke, but, you know, we there to get our work in and get out.
Yeah, we just had a conversation, Dex, about the expectations for this season. Now, you've been here for a few years now. You've developed into one of the leaders. Obviously, you're a star in the league itself. How do you see the expectation for this team? Where are you?
Honestly, this camp has been really promising. You know, guys just coming out here and working and competing and, you know, just showing up on tape consistently. And yeah. I think that's the key to everything, is just being consistent every day.
Now, this defense is very different than it was a year ago. Obviously, we all know Wink's propensity to just bring the house. Chain's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. How has it changed for you specifically, but also for the unit?
It really gives the guys up front the keys. And, you know, that's what we want. We play every day. We go out here, we lead. They say it starts with us, and this defense actually gives it to us, and that's what we like.
Yeah.
You go out and you add Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. You continue to blossom into a superstar. Kayvon had a good year last year. I look at the Giants and say the way you guys can be really good is that unit being the identity of this team. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like they and you guys have the potential to be a dominant unit and the identity of this football team?
That's how we walk around every day. And I think it starts with that, just like your confidence and your understanding and just knowing who you are and what your team needs from you. And we all pour that into each other every day.
You know, Tiki mentioned the move from Wink to Shane Bowen. Is that a tough adjustment going from one philosophy to another?
They have their similarities. You know, all came from, like, Baltimore type of thing. So it's some similarities to it. But this one is it's aggressive by player, not by call.
Wait, so does that mean you get to be to freelance? I mean, you look at the edges and you expect that. Do you get to do that interiorly as well?
Yeah, it's less controlled and more can be, you know, a defensive tackle.
Right. How do you keep integrity? Right, because the one thing last year that used to drive us as fans crazy was the gashing in the run game.
Man.
And it was frustrating. How do you keep integrity knowing that you do have some freedom? Like, all right, this guard has no chance. I'm whooping his ass. I'm going around him. Right? How do you keep integrity?
I think that's just accountability from room to room. You know, we all know how to play football. You know what I mean? So we all know where we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to fit things. And you got to take that serious in the walkthrough, I feel like. That's, you know, because in spring you're not getting a lot of looks. Then, you know, in camp, like, that's when you start getting more run looks. But we like to pass a little bit here. So
yeah,
I think you take every moment of the run game serious. And from walkthrough fits to when you're on the field and then when you get in the film room.
Yeah.
I think that's how you go about it.
You know, the one thing I'm interested to see develop is, like, what is the attitude of this team like? Are you guys going to be loud? You guys going to be just go about your business? Like, what's the personality of this team? I know what the individuals.
Yeah.
I know what your personality is. I know what Kayvon's personality is and Banks, everything. I know that.
Yeah.
What's the team personality defensively going
to
be
I think
like?
This is the closest we've been, really, as a team since I've been here. Every guy knows each other, you know, knows how to lead each other, holds each other accountable. There's no bitching, no complaining. You know, just, you know, we just on it, and we all chasing the same goal.
Why did that happen? Why do you think that, like, occurred this season?
I think that started with the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got together, we talked, and had an understanding, like, what we want and how we got to go get it type of thing. So I think it started with the leaders.
What kind of leader are you? Because obviously I think you're you and Daniel must be the longest tenured Giants,
yeah,
thinking about
and Darius.
That's right, Darius too. What's your leadership
you
style?
You guys aren't old, man.
I know. It's crazy. What's your leadership style like?
I'm an example guy. I'm not really a loud rah-rah guy. I know how to connect with people, and I think that's one of my skills. And I know how to get them to do what I need them to do as a player and on the field. So I think that's my type of leadership.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we look at and we say, God, you guys aren't old.
your secondary is really young.
Mm-hmm.
And who's stepping up to be that guy in the secondary? Because we know who we want it to be, but who is it?
Jason Pinnock is stepping up a lot. Isaiah's stepping up a good bit, being more vocal. And the rookies, surprisingly, have, like, they're speaking. And they, you know, they kind of – they listen, they learning and listening, but at the same time, they kind of demanding, oh, I'm the nickel. Like, they just, everybody's talking and loud, and I think that just started, honestly, with the guys up front, the leaders up front, like me and Burns and Bobby.
Right. Take me inside this now, because training camp used to be, we're going to whoop you rookies into shape, right? I don't want to say embarrass you, but we're going to embarrass you a little bit, like call you out at some points. Is that still the same?
I still try to keep that.
Right.
Is
that completely gone?
I still try to keep that integrity going.
I mean, it's
right
not
there.
College. You can haze these guys, right? You can get away with it. Like, what do they have to do?
The new NIL got them thinking a little different. But,
sure.
But I try to keep them in shape, keep them in their place.
They come in like, how much did you make last year?
Right.
We're talking to Dexter Lawrence. So a year ago, you got the big contract extension. I'm curious, when an athlete gets that kind of money, do you feel pressure? Do you feel like you've got to do more because you just got paid?
Not necessarily. I think my thing is every year I'm trying to grow in my knowledge of my position and what the O-line is trying to do to me. So all my thought goes to that more than – like, all that stuff can go away at some, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I don't really value myself by how much money I make or how much I should be getting. That is, for me, is more how consistent I could be every day and show up and show my joy and just have fun type of thing. I'm not really pressured by, my pressure is, can I be better than last year?
Right.
Type of thing.
Yeah, but it feels good with the zeros on the game
sheet. No, that does feel good. It's a little more free. A little more free.
Well, when you got the extension, what's the first thing you bought?
That's a good question. Probably a lake house.
Not bad. Okay. Where? Did you stay local?
You're not a beach guy?
No, I'm not much of a beach guy. In North Carolina, Lake Norman.
I can't rip North Carolina. Right. I go there all the time.
So do you have a boat?
The dock just finished, so I'll be getting one pretty soon.
Will you fish?
Of course.
Oh, nice. That's how you spend your downtime?
Or video gaming.
Yeah.
Chilling with the wife.
What video game you play?
More like 2K, NBA 2K, Call of Duty.
When you play 2K, first team you pick is usually who?
The worst team. I like to play with the worst team.
So you pick the Brooklyn Nets? Why would you pick the Brooklyn Nets constantly? That doesn't make sense.
He didn't say the Brooklyn Nets.
He said the worst team.
He was implying the Brooklyn Nets.
No, I
he didn't want to say it. He didn't want to offend you.
Why do you pick the worst team? Is that like a competition thing? Like, I can win with anybody?
That's my mindset.
Interesting.
All right, Dex, we're going to let you go here. But before we do, one question. It's hard last preseason game because you know you're not playing. How do you keep your mind forward on game one, Minnesota Vikings, because that's when it really kicks off, and that's when you guys start trying to redefine what you guys are going to be this season?
I think we just talked about it. That's funny. I think it's taking these practices seriously. Like tomorrow, like you say, we go practice at the Jets.
Yeah.
We got to take each and every day serious so we prepare our bodies and our minds to, you know, go week one and win. That's the goal.
Now, Saturday against the Jets, you're not playing. Do you know yet if you're playing that game?
I don't know. Yeah.
You don't know yet?
He ain't playing. Stop.
Well, I'm going to the game. I want to know. I want to know who I'm seeing. Dexter, we appreciate it, dude. Dexter Lawrence, elite player for the New York Football Giants. Evan and Tiki, we are live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.